The bottom of this is like, how do we keep you alive? Biologically, how do we keep you alive? The middle for this, for us, is what are the activities that support and make it more likely that you will show up as the best version of you?
You're listening to episode 183 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April, and I'm your host. And I'm excited because once again, I am joined by Ashley this week. These conversations are way too much fun.
I love this. It's like the highlight of my week.
It's so much fun. And what we've been doing, if you haven't caught on with us or you haven't had a chance to catch these episodes, is in recent weeks, we've been doing some joint episodes to go over some topics that we hear from people about often that tend to be some of the more underlying fundamental topics that maybe complicate or get involved in nearly everything else that we focus on, you know, at Peak Mind and in a lot of our programs and stuff. So we wanted to take some time at, you know, this stage to just go through some of these fundamental topics. So we've talked about, you know, some pieces around setting boundaries, some pieces about how important you are. And we're really going to branch off of that this week into a topic that is extremely hot out there in social media and just sort of general media land. But we're going to dive into it in a way that I haven't seen anybody else break it down. I haven't seen anybody else really get this intentional or go as deep into. And I'm really excited for us to do that.
Me too.
I mean, we're talking self-care this week.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited.
Well, and if you're listening and your immediate response was like an eye roll, ugh, self-care, I get it. That's kind of what I think of too when I hear that term. And it's because I don't think it's done well. Like April, like you were saying, a lot of people talk about it. It's all over Instagram and social media, right? Self-care, self-care, take a bubble bath, do a pedicure. And that's all great, but it feels really fluffy and sometimes indulgent. So I really like the way that we frame self-care and the way that we think about it and talk about it and approach it. And I think it's like a paradigm shifter, right? Like when you think of it this way, it's really fundamental and really, really important.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That it links back to, and I mentioned it really briefly, but it's worth calling out again. It links back to an episode we did, episode 180. It's called You Are the Asset. And in that episode, we talked a lot about the critical role that so many of us play in all of these facets of our lives, taking care of kids and parents and jobs and friends and community stuff. And all of this responsibility lands on us at one time. And if you've ever been in the position where you're like, I'm going to drop one of these balls, this is too many, like this is too much for me to do in a given day, this is too many responsibilities, that's because you're the asset that people are relying on. You're the linchpin that's holding this all up. And it's because of you and it's for you that we wanted to make sure that we did this episode, because to Ashley's point, the way that self-care gets portrayed in social media and other places is, I love the word you used, it's fluffy. It sounds like, and it almost sets up another set of activities that we should do. Like I should be running around accomplishing all these things and somehow finding time to sit in a bubble bath. Right. And it doesn't give credit to the more fundamental activities that are mm-hmm. self-care that keep us going,
right?
That no one talks about.
Well, and one of the big things that I hear is that self-care is selfish, right? That mm-hmm. people, when we have these conversations and say, okay, look at all of the demands on you, look at all of the balls you have in the air, everything you have to do, and yet you're a human contained by biology, right? You
yeah.
have a human body and a human brain. You have to do self-care. But when people think of self-care as the bubble baths and the pedicures, it's, I don't have time for that, or that's selfish. And we need to just bust that myth right there. Self-care is not selfish. It's basic maintenance for your body. Mm-hmm. And maybe, and we'll get into maybe like, that's, I think maybe a little oversimplified, but think about your car. If you just drove your car everywhere, 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 and maybe you stopped and put some gas in it, but you never changed the oil, you never update it. I'm not much of a car person. I don't know much beyond what you're supposed to say that. But if you don't do routine maintenance, it's not going to run well. And it might continue to run for a while, but it's going to start to break down. It's going to mm-hmm. be less reliable. And we're the same way. If mm-hmm. we don't do self-care practices, we're going to start to break down.
And admitting that we are, right? We've all gotten to that point where we're mm-hmm. like, I am done. Oh my gosh, I'm done. And if you think about, like, put yourself in that situation where you are so done, you are so spent, it has been the day, you can't anymore.
Yeah.
If you get really quiet and you think about it, there was a moment or maybe set of moments well before you reached that point where you realized this is not going well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if where you started to question and you continued to push. And that's where it's not getting to this point. We talk so much and so often about how so many of our approaches to mental health and just our own well-being operate on this emergency room model. Let's push until it gets so horrible that we can't go anymore. And what we're urging people to do is think about it, like take a step back and intervene before you get to that point. Because admitting that is not admitting you have some deficiency or some fault. It's admitting that you're human, and it's doing the proactive thing right. to be the best that you can, to be the most effective, to have the best performance that you can. But that involves admitting when you need to stop and refill, to stop and fill with gas, to stop and rest yeah. or do something to right the ship a little bit before you can continue on.
Or even to prevent. So I want to hit that emergency room metaphor a little bit more in case people haven't heard us talk about it. But that means intervening when there's a crisis, right? It's hitting the fan. It's a crisis situation. And if that's when you go to get medical care, I mean, that is when you go to get medical care, of course. But we do so much other stuff to prevent, right? Like if you exercise, or if you're eating whole grains, if you're going for your routine yearly screenings, you're doing all of this stuff to intervene early or to keep problems from happening. And we need to look at self-care the same way. If you're waiting until you hit that wall, which I don't know, we've all probably hit several walls during the last few months, but if you wait till you hit that wall to say, oh, clearly I need some self-care, you're going to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. We're proposing that you look at it a little bit differently. That we look at, how do we set you up for success? How do we set ourselves up to be the best version that we can of ourselves so that we can show up
yeah.
as the asset and be there for everybody? We're not actually suggesting that you drop responsibilities as part of self-care, saying it's too much. We're saying, no. Figure out the practices that you need so that you can do all of those things effectively.
Right.
Smoothly, with ease, rather than running on fumes.
Yeah. And to introduce the concept that we're talking about here, it's something that we call the self-care pyramid. So I want you to think about, let's say you went to Instagram, and maybe you have your phone out and you can do this right now if you're not driving or whatever. If you search for the hashtag self-care, look at the images that you see. You see images that are of the fluffy variety that Ashley talked about earlier. And what you don't see are some of the more fundamental pieces to this self-care pyramid that we're going to go through. But our argument is that you need all aspects of that pyramid in mm-hmm. different doses and to different degrees in order to feel like you are a person who is supported by these practices, because that's really what this is. This is the scaffolding that supports you. It's the scaffolding that supports you as the asset and holds you up so that you can continue to show up and perform in the way that you want to. So maybe right. we should start with like that basic foundational piece.
Absolutely. And it makes me think of, you know, when it comes to this pyramid, you have to start with the base. Right. If you jump ahead to the top of it, that's like trying to build a house roof first. You do foundation first. Then you put up the frames and the walls. The roof goes last. Mm-hmm. So in this pyramid, we're going to start with that foundation. And that's the basic, you're a human with a body and you're constrained by biology. The basics have to be taken care of. You have to sleep. You have to move. You have to eat. You need time for things like taking a shower. At some point we need to shower. You may not be an everyday person, but that's okay. But these foundational pieces to get your biology working optimally. You cannot work at a high level or at an optimal level if your body isn't taken care of, period.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed that a lot, and this may resonate with people who, women in particular, who are listening to this, I noticed the importance of this both times when I had kids and I was on maternity leave, when really minute by minute, that kid has a need that is unexpected and you have to address it in a lot of cases. So in a lot of cases, you're not really sleeping because you're getting up with a baby a lot at night. You aren't drinking as much water. You're not eating as much for yourself because you're just constantly in tune with this small baby. You're not showering as often as you want to, all of that. And I really noticed the hit that my mental health took, mm-hmm. the less of this I did. And the more I started to say, wait, and this is just a tip for any like new, you know, parents, you can try it out. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, throw it away. But I started forcing myself to say, hold on, you are a human with a body who needs this. How long will it actually take for you to walk across the room, grab a glass, put some water in it, and carry it with you as you go pick up the baby? Now you have a glass of water, which you didn't have before. If you just jump and go get the baby and don't think about yourself as an important asset in that equation, which you are the asset in that equation, you're keeping that baby alive, right? If you don't do those basic things for yourself, it's just so difficult to keep going. And it's so difficult to keep going with the attitude and the mindset that you want to have.
Well, you can't like, if you're not hydrated, if you're not slept, if you're not moving, your brain doesn't work the way we want it to, right? What happens in any of those cases is your fight or flight system goes haywire. That means, neurologically speaking, you're in a state of stress. You're going to get the stress hormones coursing through your body. How's that going to do for showing up being all smiley and friendly and supportive and loving?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so adaptive, right? My basic needs are not being met. I'm not eating. I'm not drinking. I'm not sleeping. I don't feel like my body is being supported. Of course it is. You think back to when our minds evolved, right? The era that they evolved in, when there were really scary, deadly threats and there wasn't as much food that was readily available and whatever, that's where that instinct came from. And what you're doing is reminding that instinct, hey, these threats are still here, by not feeding yourself and sleeping. I would love, actually, you were mentioning to me recently this sleep book that you're reading, and just like rattle off some of the results of like, if you aren't sleeping, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, okay. The book is Why We Sleep. Can't remember the author's name. He's a major sleep researcher. So it's really great. But here's the deal. Not getting enough sleep affects literally every system of your body. So here are some of the things. If you're struggling with weight and you're not getting enough sleep, you're going to continue to struggle because it messes with your hormones. So the ones that tell you you're full go away. The ones that tell you you're hungry increase. Impulse control goes down. So that that part of our brain that does deliberative, intentional decision-making and thought, rational thinking, that prefrontal cortex is weakened if you don't get enough sleep. So what does that leave? All your base instincts. Inflammation goes up. Your immune system goes down. One night of not getting adequate sleep knocks out a huge chunk of the killer cells in your, that are like your first line defenses in your immune system. So it increases your risk of cancer. It affects fertility. Mm-hmm. It affects metabolism. It affects your heart. It affects your mood. If you're not getting enough sleep, you're at a higher risk for anxiety or depression. And that's a chicken or egg thing, right? Because anxiety and depression can impact sleep. All of this to say, and let me point out that the amount of sleep deprivation most of these studies looks at is less than 7 hours a night for about five nights. I know, right? And think about, we act like it's a badge of honor that I only sleep four hours a night. Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. You're basically shaving time off of your life. You're impacting, memory and learning. One of the functions of sleep is to consolidate your memory. So all the junk you took in and learned that day, if you don't sleep, it doesn't get moved to long-term storage. And if it doesn't get cleared out, then the next day when you go to learn new stuff, you can't, because that short-term storage is all full. So if you want to learn, you know, be smart, you got to sleep. So I can nerd out, we should do a whole episode just on that. But from a self-care perspective, the things that go when you're feeling really busy, when you have so many demands placed on you, what do we cut?
Exercise.
Sleep. We cut these foundational things, the bottom of the pyramid, and we're setting ourselves up to fail. And you may be sitting here saying, I hear you, but that doesn't apply to me because I'm functioning just fine. But you're not. You might be able to for a few nights, but you're going to crash. The other thing is we get used to suboptimal performance.
Mm-hmm. You can acclimate to anything, good or bad. We can acclimate and adapt to anything.
Which is kind of amazing, except also not. And this is a place where if you've been, like I know before I started my own business and I worked for someone and I worked a lot more hours, I didn't actually realize the level of chronic stress until I stopped and I cut back my hours and adjusted some of the pacing of my day. And then I realized, because I was more tuned into when stress would hit, that I could feel the sensations. I spent years not noticing them and not realizing the impact it was taking.
We'll link up to that book in the mm-hmm. show notes. So if you're watching or listening to this on your phone, you should be able to scroll down and get to a link for that book. But the author is Matthew Walker, it looks like. So if anybody wants to go ping him on Amazon or somewhere else, tell him he should be on this podcast. We'll reach out to him too, but it's always nice when our audience is like, hey, why don't you come on this podcast? We heard about you and we want to hear from you more. So if you could do that, that'd be awesome. But we'll definitely try to get him on an episode because that would be amazing to dive into this in a deep dive way because it's so important.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move up the pyramid. Do you want
to? Can we go to the top? Let's skip to the top because the top is the place that. So we like what I want to put a bow on with the bottom part of it is that the notable thing here is that we don't even think about those activities as self-care, but they really are. So they are part of this self-care pyramid. They're the foundation. They're the most important part. The only pieces we really hear about are the top of that pyramid. Yeah. This is where your bubble baths, your personal care, like pedicures and other things like that would fit.
Girls' nights. To
drinking glasses of Chardonnay, maybe. Like things that help you relax, things that are recreational. I've used this example a lot. For me, that's what yoga is. Yoga is nothing more, for me personally, is nothing more than a really fun recreational activity that I enjoy doing. It belongs at the top of my self-care pyramid. And top does not mean most important. Top means think about proportionally how much space is up there. It's a little bit less. It occurs third.
The top is the icing on the cake, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not the same for everybody, right? Like I put yoga more in the middle for me, which we'll talk about what the middle is. But and that's one of the other pieces that we need to hit on too, is that our approach to self-care is very personalized. It is not a one-size-fits-all, other than maybe that bottom foundational part. If you're human with a body, you got to have some things. But as we move up, it's about figuring out what really works for you. And so there are so many people who will say, yoga doesn't do it. Cool. It does for me. Doesn't for you. Okay. Or reading. That's a huge part for me, not for everybody. And so kind of figuring that out is really, really important too.
It's a life design approach, right? It's who are you, what makes you tick, and let's design this around you. And it won't look like anybody else's self-care routine. Your pyramid is different aside from the basic biological fundamentals that we all share. So we talked about, and I don't want to spend too much more time talking about the top part of the pyramid because that's all anybody talks about and it gets talked about a ton. And what no one talks about is the middle. And the middle for us, the middle is squarely pointed at. So the bottom of this is like, how do we keep you alive? Biologically, how do we keep you alive? The middle for this, for us, is what are the activities that support and make it more likely that you will show up as the best version of you each day? And that's also very, very individual. So when you think about yourself, in situations where you've shown up and you were like, man, I had it that day. Like, wow, I was really good that day. I was on. I just nailed it. This was me at my best. This is the best performance I can possibly have. What were those characteristics? What did your mind feel like? What were your emotions? What were your thoughts? What were the circumstances surrounding it? Like, what was it? That's the beginning of the life design process, is understand that. It's awareness. What are those factors that are unique to you that you look like when you're at your best?
Right. So I know, like, just to give some examples, we've both talked about, you know, at our best, part of that is a clarity, a focus. For me, it's a feeling of inspiration and excitement. That's when I'm at my best. But it's not like sometimes that just comes up naturally. Sometimes it's in response to certain situations, but where we're going with this self-care routine is, if I can say, all right, me at my best, the way I wish I could show up to every day is with that inspired, excited feeling. What are some activities that reliably put me in that state? Okay. For me, it's reading certain kinds of material. When I read certain kinds of things, like this Why We Sleep, I'm a giant nerd. I like to learn about the brain and the body. When I'm reading about those kinds of things, I get excited. When I make time to have conversations, an exchange of ideas, so it's a specific type of conversation, that puts me in that state too. So it's looking at how can I build that into my day to put me in that state or that frame of mind. And April, I love, if you don't mind sharing some of your examples, because I know you've done a lot of work to figure out some of those practices that put you in your optimal state. And I think it's really helpful to hear. And honestly, it's kind of inspiring to me. So,
oh, yay. Well, for me, mine, I also share the inspiration and excitement piece of it. But for me, what's more, even more fundamental, that I can't even get there unless this is taken care of, is a feeling that, and my mind does not do this on its own. P.S. This is not something, this is not a natural state for me at all, is to feel calm, focused, at ease, and in control. It's very easy for me. And I've said this a lot on this podcast, energy is not my problem, to the point that it's not good. Meaning I will operate at this like level of energy that is not focused, that is not at ease and calm and deliberate. And it means that my mind is this crazy place where I'm like ruminating and running through my to-do list over and over and over. Anybody who has ever had that brain that is so crowded by trying not to forget something that you need to do, that's what I'm talking about. And I can't show up and be deliberate and channel that energy toward making progress and being effective if it's just scattered and running in a million directions, which is my natural tendency. So for me, I really focus hard on making sure that I'm intentionally planning out my day, my week, my month, and largely these days, I've started focusing on my quarter. What do those look like? And what this has done for me, what I noticed is the reason why I'm ruminating on that to-do list is because I feel like my perception is that there's more to do than I have time to get it done in. I'm worried that I'm somehow not going to have time to accomplish those things and something's going to fall by the wayside that was important. I'm going to miss a deadline. I'm going to have to cut the quality of what I want to do below where I'm comfortable cutting. And what this planning process does, and I'll link up, I use something called the self journal. I talk about it all the time. I'll link it up again. They just redid their formatting and it's so good. Oh my God, I love it even more now.
Really?
I'll link it up. It's so good. I buy four at a time, a year's worth at a time. I'm an addict. But what it forces me to do is to literally plan out, here are all brain dump, all the stuff that needs to happen, every appointment that needs to happen, every email that needs to get sent, every thank you note that you need to send, every work project that needs to happen, every deadline, every meeting, every everything, all of it. And it all gets put into a place. And if it stops fitting, if something doesn't fit, then I want you to go back to our episode recently on boundaries. I think it might have been, actually, let's look and I'll tell you the exact number. 182.
Yeah.
Yeah, 182. That's when I need to start putting boundaries in place. I need to start saying no. But what happens is I put all this stuff in place. All of a sudden, I can stop ruminating on it because I know with certainty and I have a place of evidence to go back to. See, you've got it. You've got it. I don't have to keep it in my mind anymore. It's somewhere. It's all accounted for. Now I just have to execute and show up and make it happen. And that is a calm, deliberate place for me. Now all that energy gets channeled behind just do what that book says. That's all you have to do. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just do what the book says. And it's so calming.
This as a practice, right? Like I know I've heard you talk about bookending your day, right? Starting by some sort of reflection or planning and kind of ending there. But having that, right? Like, because I know that default state that you're talking about, the frantic moving, that's a very, just frantic is the word that comes to mind. And that's where a lot of people live. And it's going to feel like, I don't have time for self-care. I don't have time for self-care. And you're planning an organizational system doesn't sound like Instagram self-care.
No, right? It's really boring. It's not pretty at all.
And yet, it's got to be there before you even get to that icing on the cake, because otherwise, where are you going to fit it in?
Well, because otherwise, I'm in the bubble bath going, I didn't set that appointment and I need to send that email and don't forget to send the card. And remember, you have to do those interviews and remember that you need to send this thing and remember that you have this other task. Like,
so it's not helpful.
The bubble bath doesn't even work.
Yeah. And how could it? How could it? Because you didn't, unless you do that middle level where we're kind of going, okay, cool. You've taken care of biology before we get to the recreational pieces. What's that middle? How do we put you in that optimal state? How do we take care of some of those things that get in the way of you doing what you need to do in the way that you want to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is self-care.
It absolutely is. And this is actually a good place for us to take a quick break. This is a huge component. We actually built we've got a number of bonus modules inside the Ascend program, but this is its own module because we see a hole. No one's talking about it. No one's teaching it this way, and someone needs to, so it might as well be us because it supports all of the other work we're asking people to do in this program. So there's a bonus module on it. We're going to take a quick pause, give you some information about the program, and then we're going to come back and talk about some tips for making sure that you're hitting all three of those layers of the pyramid. Because when you do, life feels different, you show up different, you feel different. It's amazing. So quick break and we'll be right back.
Tell me if this sounds like you. I'll finally be happy. I'll finally take a breath. I'll finally find some balance when I get through this crazy season of life. We hear that from so many people, and the fact is, many times, life is just a crazy season. All of it.
Between your career, your family, your community obligations, attempting to have a social life, and trying to fit in self-care, whatever that is, we end up feeling stretched so thin. Now, I want to challenge you to think about things differently. Rather than focusing on external circumstances and their impact on your happiness, your sense of ease and balance, and your mental well-being, what if, instead, you focused on something you can actually control? What if you built the psychological strength that would allow you to thrive through life when things are going well and even when they're not? What if you could feel less scattered, more in control, less anxious, more peaceful and joyful? We want that for you too. That's why we are so beyond excited to announce the beta release of our signature psych strength building program, Ascend. This program combines evidence-based tools, techniques, and information from the fields of psychology and life design to focus on three important modules: you, your mind, and your life. Learn your unique combination of strengths, values, and identity, and the ways in which they interact and lead you to approach life in your unique way. Dig into your mind to understand the conscious and subconscious processes that act as a lens through which you experience life. And finally, harness the power of life design to begin to steer your life into alignment with who you uniquely are. Enrollment in this beta round of Ascend is open now, and because it's our beta round, the price is astonishingly low. So if you have ever had even a suspicion that you could benefit from building psychological strength through a guided, science-backed experience, now is the time. Visit www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend for more information and to join us. Friends, it is time to build psychological strength. It's time to live by design and not by default. It is time to live like your life depends on it, because it does. Join us in Ascend by visiting www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. That's www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. All right, everybody. I hope that gave you a little overview of our flagship program, Ascend. And as we mentioned, this self-care work is, the self-care pyramid is a big bonus module inside that program. But before we close out today, I wanted to make sure that we went through and gave you some tips that, you know, we have developed over time to make sure that you're hitting each of those three levels of that pyramid. And maybe we start with like the most fundamental sort of bottom level of that pyramid. I don't know. Ashley, do you have a couple tips in that regard?
The things that come to mind, and these might apply kind of cross levels, but immediately where my mind went is it takes, like so many things, it takes intentionality. It's not going to happen. No, none of these levels are going to happen unless you make them. And I don't mean like setting an intention, like putting a positive affirmation out there. I mean, taking a few minutes to plan and set yourself up for success. We tend to over-rely on willpower a lot as humans. And I think that's a giant myth in and of itself. So if we're talking about getting sleep or getting movement, you need to build it into your day. When am I going to do this? If you're trying to eat a little bit healthier, meal plan and prep. It works for me to do that on Sunday so that I don't have to do it during the week. Because if I don't have something planned, I'm going to support local, which means eat out. So set it up a little bit, right? And your whole bookending your day self-journal is a wonderful thing, and you're building that in.
Yeah. One example of that is my weekly practice. I want to work out 3 to 4 times a week. And particular types of workouts for each one of them. Literally every Sunday, I sit down and I say, where are the holes in my week where this will actually work? And if I don't find enough holes, I start canceling things. So where are the holes in my week that I can make these workouts fit in? And then I write down, okay, you've got 5 opportunities. That means you can only say no once or maybe twice, and you're going to have a light week. But making sure that you put that in your calendar, in my case, putting that in my self journal has been huge. The other piece that I'll let people know, and I'm crazy in this regard because I get up really early, But it works regardless of when you get up. I cannot say enough for sleep hygiene, and especially making sure that you are waking up at the same time. I don't care what day it is. I don't care if it's a holiday. I don't care if it's a weekend, and that you're trying to go to bed at the same time. And I say it in that way because it's a lot easier to keep your body awake than it is to force it to sleep. So in the beginning, when you are implementing these sleep hygiene habits, this is just my experience. I found it easier, set your alarm, get up, get out of bed, force yourself. There are mornings where I'm like, just get your feet on the floor, just get standing up. You can do it. And force yourself to stay awake that entire day. Just force it to happen. It's going to be hard in the beginning. But if you take that nap, you're not going to be able to fall asleep that night when you want to. And then get your butt in bed. You might not fall asleep at the time you want to. The first handful of nights, it's going to be a little bit of a hard shift to turn the Titanic. But once you do, when you can get that sleep hygiene in place, I go comatose between 9:30 and 10 every night. Like, it is physically next to impossible for me to stay awake past 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. And if my alarm for some reason doesn't go off, and lots of times even 10 minutes before it does go off, which is anywhere between 4:45 and 5:30 every morning, my body wakes up. I'm like, what's happening? Like, why are we not? And it's easy now, but it wasn't before. It's sleep hygiene that does it.
Well, and that makes sense. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not a morning person, and I struggle with sleep and have for years. And this gets me to two tips on the self-care pyramid is one on the sleep side. When I have done better, I mean, yes, all of that sleep hygiene. And again, there's a lot that goes into that. We could talk about that for
Now.
But what I have found is that for me, I'm much more likely to go to bed at a decent time. I'm much more likely to sleep and therefore be able to wake up in the morning if I'm not on a screen. Mm-hmm. And so what I've noticed is that if I am, and it can be TV, it can be social media, it can be, it's even worse if I'm actually doing work. Like, I like to work at night. I feel more energized and creative. So that's when I like to do a lot of like our peak mind creation. What I've noticed though, is if I'm working on designing or web building or creating handouts or things like that at night, I'm not going to sleep. My brain is very active. And here's the thing. And so one, cut the screens. That also is like, if you're just scrolling on social media, is that really self-care? It's not. And you can tell me it's relaxing, but it doesn't prop you up and support your energy.
It's like eating a rice cake. It's not giving you anything, you know, like it's a rice cake. There's no nutrients in it.
I love that. Watching TV and scrolling on social media, playing video games. Those are the things that people tell me they're relaxing. This is self-care. And I'm going to say, if it's not propping you up, if it's not feeding you, it's not, it's the rice cake of self-care. I love that. Here's the other piece though. I didn't figure that out. Like, in a real way, I'd heard people say that. I mean, heck, I've told people that. Get off a screen because the light activates. Anyway, there's brain chemistry reasons why light from a screen is not good for sleep. But this is number two on the tips for self-care, is you have to experiment. I figured that out because I did an experiment of no TV for a month. I got into a bad habit of Netflix binging. So I was like, cool, I'm gonna try to go 30 days without TV. Was shocked to find sleep improved.
What?
Yeah. So here's the thing. We are really, really bad at predicting how we're gonna respond to things. And yet we like to try to think our way out of problems. And that's the whole life design piece, is we wanna design our way out. We wanna try things and iterate. We wanna experiment, get the experiences, and then adjust. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to self-care, one thing I would encourage you to do is just start trying some things. I love a 30-day trial. Try it and see what happens. You're going to be surprised.
Yeah, I love it. Some tips for the middle section, because this is sort of the neglected section of the self-care pyramid to our, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier in the episode, but thinking back to those times when you were at your best, how they felt And then also, what were the barriers that were in the way and keeping you from feeling that way? So when I'm at my best, I feel focused, I feel uncluttered, I feel at ease. Not at ease as in I'm lounging, but I'm focused and at ease, which is a more engaged, but engaged in a single direction, not in 25 directions. What's keeping me from doing that? And it's easy. And here's where I'll throw in a design thinking piece. It's easy to say, oh, well, what's keeping me from doing that is there's all these people who are asking me, you know, to do things. And I have all this stuff that I need to do. Okay, great. Well, why is that problematic for you? Well, it's because I know in my mind that I have to accomplish all these things and I have to get them all done. Well, why is that problematic? Well, because then I end up sitting here thinking about how I have to get all this stuff done. And my mind's racing and going in 100 directions, anywhere from my kid's doctor's appointment to this critical project I have at work. Oh, well, why is that racing mind happening? Well, because I'm trying to make sure that I don't miss a deadline and I don't know when all of this is going to fit. Find a place for it to fit. Like, ask yourself why a bunch of times until you end at a place where there's an action that you can take. Can you go to your boss and say, could you stop giving me projects? No, that's not an action you can take. But keep asking yourself why and getting yourself to a place where there's an action that you're 100% in control of, then do that action and see if that action got rid of the barrier for you. And if it did, awesome, keep doing it. If it didn't, fine, iterate, try something else. But go deeper than just, oh, it's because all these people want all these things from me. Of course they do. You're the asset. Like, you get stuff done. Of course they do. Yeah. But like, what can you do about it? And that's where your self-care practice comes from.
Well, and what I love about that is you're hitting a couple key points, and maybe this is kind of the final take-home message of, all right, what do? You're on board. You need some self-care. You want to show up in an optimal state. It's figuring out what that looks like for you. Like, what are we shooting for? If you're like, I'm just going to do me some self-care, okay, that's pretty vague, right? That's like saying, I want to get buff. Well, what do we actually mean? Or I want to get healthy. What do we actually mean, right? So it gives you a clear goal of what you're shooting for, which is just more effective anytime it comes to behavior change. Mm-hmm. And I love that, the whys, right? Like, I tend to think of it as like five whys, like keep asking why. But I really like that you were able in that example to kind of take it from like, here's a problem to here's an actionable step.
Mm-hmm. That's 100% inside your control.
Yes.
Right? We talk about radical responsibility all the time and people are like, no way, there's extenuating circumstances. I'm like, you're not digging deep enough.
Yeah.
You are not digging deep enough. Keep asking why. So you're looking for what that barrier is, what that success metric is, and what the experiment or the thing that's inside your control is that you can do. So putting those in place. And, you know, Ashley, to your earlier point, just keep experimenting until you know what those actions are. My morning routine around the self-journal and the other activities that I do is constantly in flux. About 2 months ago, I added some Dzogchen meditation to it, and that was game-changing. I noticed a shift in what my mind does during the day when I started doing that, but it's not something I did before, and I thought I felt pretty good before. So yeah, it's a consistent improvement, a consistent effort. But man, it's worth it. And bottom line, don't forget the more fundamental parts of that pyramid. Don't mm-hmm. just focus on the bubble baths because it's more than that.
Right. Well, I mean, could you imagine in that whole, like, everybody's asking me to do everything. If you're like, okay, cool, I'll go take a bubble bath self-care, that'll help. Nope. That's very different than kind of getting down to the root of what's really getting in the way and being mm-hmm. able to come up with a concrete, effective solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because ultimately what you're doing there is you're avoiding, you're not setting yourself up to be the asset that you are. And that's mm-hmm. ultimately the scaffolding of what self-care does, is it sets you up to be the asset more often and to feel like you're showing up and you're performing as that asset as often as possible, and makes it more likely that that'll happen.
Thanks.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. I hope you'll check out the Ascend program right now. We've already started talking about when we're going to move it out of beta. So if you're interested in at all checking out the program, I wouldn't wait. It's going to move really quick. And we're having so much fun with the people who are jumping in. We're about to do our first live call with it. And actually, by the time this comes out, we'll have done that first live call. So we're just really excited about everything that's happening inside that program already. And we would love to welcome you in. So thank you for joining us this week. Please take care of yourself. You are an absolute asset, and it's worth it to go through the effort to figure out what your self-care pyramid looks like to support your unique best self. And we hope that this episode helped you do that.
It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so. But today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Right now, all stock outlets with USB ports are on sale. Ditch the need for bulky USB adapters. Upgrade your home with features like ultra-fast charging, allowing you to charge your smart devices up to 40% faster than standard USB outlets. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.